You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. The owners of the Strader Hotel in Durango are meticulous about its Victorian details, from the furniture to the wallpaper. The hotel turns 125 this year. In the early days, it was an island of comfort and civility in the state's rough-and-tumble southwest corner. Rod Barker is the third generation of his family to run the Strader. His latest project is to name rooms after famous people who stayed in them, like Room 222, where Western writer Louis L'Amour slept. Rod, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's great to be here with you, too.
I am looking at a picture of the Strader Hotel, and it's really gorgeous. Red brick with white all around the windows. Pretty stunning place.
It's a visual masterpiece, I think, for some of the early designs, and the Victorians were always about embellishment.
Yeah. Well, what was Durango like when the Strader was first built? This is back in 1887. Paint a picture of town for me.
Well, it was a real young town, pretty wild still. There were a lot of rough people in town, but it had its genteel side too, where people liked the opera, and even though there wasn't at that time an opera house, there were people who performed opera, and there were the Durango Reading Club, and then there was the Women's Literary Club, and the railroad had come in 1881. So it was an upstart town, and the railroads used the towns that they landed in to generate enough capital as they sold land to move to the next location. So as Durango came in and prospered and they sold their lots off, they made enough money to take the line up to Silverton.
Hmm. So, and was the hotel a seat of activity beyond lodging? In other words, you've described the book clubs, you've described the operas. I just wonder if it became a gathering place for locals as well as tourists or people traveling through.
Yes, it was always a real gathering spot. In fact, a lot of the locals during the early years didn't want to live in their own homes during the wintertime when it was cold, so they'd just move into the hotel.
Ah.
So it was quite a social place, and there were little pot-bellied stoves in each one of the rooms back then. And so as you go down into the lobby, you'd meet with your friends, and people who arrived at the Strader, their names would be published in the newspaper. So if you wanted to see who was coming to town and staying at the Strader, you could just go to the newspaper and find out.
Now, people moved in the winter because the hotel had heat and they didn't at home.
That's correct,
okay.
Yeah.
And are those pot-bellied stoves still in the rooms?
No, they're kind of a bad idea.
Yeah.
A lot of hotels that are no longer around were because of the pot-bellied stoves. They burned a lot of hotels down. And in the early years, it was converted over to steam heat. They put in forced air, which was really a new thing.
How many rooms?
We have 93 rooms in the hotel. And originally, the hotel had about 124, but they were pretty tiny. So a lot of the smaller rooms got combined into bigger suites.
Now, you take some pride in the fact that it is true, this hotel, to its Victorian roots. And you're careful that it's not cowboy Victorian. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, a lot of the frontier hotels were pretty rustic and rough, actually. And they didn't spend a lot of money on the frills inside because cowboys didn't really care. They rolled into town. They shook their boots off in the lobby and and then moved upstairs for the night. But a lot of people that would come from some of the more refined locations like San Francisco or New York and even Denver wanted something a little bit nicer. And Henry Strader certainly was trying his best to create something in Durango that would make Durango as a destination sort of an iconic spot. In fact, the founding fathers of Durango had notions that Durango could be the state capital.
Hmm.
And by putting in a hotel of stature, they felt like that would have really a good reason for it to be considered as such.
And so what are examples of appointments maybe on the inside that reflect, you know, that higher ideal?
Well, the detail that they would put into it, they did have some pretty nice wallpapers. They were mostly stencils. Then there was a lot of interesting and ornate woodwork. But over the years, you know, that kind of fell into some disrepair, and the wallpaper got covered over by layer after layer after layer of different stuff. Mm. And When my folks had started the renovation of the hotel more back into the Victorian era, they started finding these beautiful antiques back east. My dad was a pilot, so they'd fly out there, and then they'd have a guy take the plane home, and they would get a big U-Haul truck, and they'd drive from town to town and find things until the truck was full, and they'd come home. So they'd come home and have these nice antiques, mostly all walnut and American of manufacture, so American Victorian walnut antiques. When I came in about 1983, we kept on purchasing more and more antiques as we could find them, and we got a name for ourselves, and people would kind of find us and say, gosh, my grandmother is gone now, and we don't know what to do with these antiques, but we don't want to lose sight of them. So we'd put them in a room, and they would know where they are.
I understand that to maintain the place, you have a carpenter on hand. Is that right?
Yes. We found that in the renovation process, rather than trying to find outside companies that we'd have to really train in the detail that we're looking for, we just hired our own. And Charlie Schumacher, who is about 84 right now, has been with me, working with me since I got here in 83, and a lot longer than that with our family. And he's a master craftsman.
And yet you've got the tension between the charm of the Victorian era and also the comfort of modern life, right? I mean, you've got to have creature comforts fit for 2012.
Yeah, people just don't want to put up with the old Victorian inconveniences. So bathrooms have to be modern. You have to have everything the way that it would be in a nice, comfortable bathroom. Everybody wants wireless internet. They want to have TV and telephone and all of those things. So we haven't overlooked anything like that.
I understand that popular Western writer Louis L'Amour used to write in the hotel, and that now there's a room named after him?
Yes. Room 222 is the Louis L'Amour suite. Louis came a lot every summer during the 60s and 70s. And each summer that he'd be here, he'd go search around for different areas to write his books about. He was very specific about the topography, so that when he named a spring or a river or a destination in his book, you can know that it actually existed.
I understand you're going to name other rooms after other notable figures who've stayed at the hotel.
Yes, not only stayed, but pioneering Durango families. For instance, Olga Little was what they call a mule whacker, and led mule trains up into the mountains to bring supplies into the miners and to the isolated communities. And one particular winter, Olga was the only person able to get the mules into the miners and save the lives of literally hundreds of miners by delivering food during a bad winter. We thought that kind of pioneering spirit was worth naming a room for her.
Well, your parents and grandparents ran the Strader Hotel before you, and I just wonder if you pictured yourself, Rod, running it as you are today.
Never. When I grew up, I didn't think there was a chance I could do what my dad did. And, well, you know, every kid wants to be his own person. So I was a geology major, and I couldn't wait to get out of town, but the hotel business just kept coming back to me, and I worked some time at the Brown Palace in Denver and the Broadmoor Hotel in Colorado Springs, and then some time with Westin, and just loved it. And when my dad had decided to sell the hotel, I just thought, gosh, Dad, you can't do that. I would certainly love to come back and run the hotel, and that's where I ended up.
Well, thank you so much, Rod, for speaking with us.
Well, you're welcome. I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Rod Barker owns the Strader Hotel in Durango, which is 125 years old. And that's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.